Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Dave Erfley, founder and editor of the Junior Minor Junkie. Now Dave, you and I usually chat on Tuesday, but because of the conferences that were going on this week, again, all virtually, we moved it back to Friday, and I'm glad we did because it gives us a chance to revisit the trading action this week, focused on the precious metals. Gold and the gold stocks did get a bit of a bounce this week. They did recover from just another washout that happened the prior week. The only problem is this bounce really happened early on in the week, and since that time, for the most part, let's say GDX and gold have moved mostly sideways, unfortunately, still very much within this downtrend that is over 7 months long right now. Looking at that GDX daily chart, there is still a gap that was put in on March 9th, the trading on March 9th, where we haven't quite dropped and filled that gap. Gold doesn't quite have that same gap. GDXJ, slightly different. But overall, look, the fact of the matter is gold and gold stocks are still in this downtrend. So, Dave, what do you take away from the action this week and some of the optimism that's come into the gold bug narrative that, hey, maybe a bottom is in here for gold and the gold stocks?
Yeah, searching for a bottom. We're all still searching for that elusive bottom. But, you know, it's been very interesting the way this has played out. You know, the bond yields peaked last week. And it's funny, they're revisiting that peak today, yet the gold price is about $50 higher than where it was when the 10-year was at the same yield it was. So it's really interesting to see what's going on here with the shares too, because last week in my Kitco article, I mentioned that the gold shares began to lead higher while the gold price continued to go lower last week. And that was basically telegraphing the bounce that came in gold this week. And the shares continue to show relative strength to the gold price here. It is funny you mentioned that gap in the GDX. There's also a downside gap. So what basically you have on the daily in the GDX is an island, something called an island reversal, and that is bullish if it remains in the chart. And it looked like this morning that it was going to fill, but the gold price bounced pretty strongly while yields were still pretty high in the 10-year. The GDXJ has filled its gap. It does not have that island reversal, and it has filled that gap this morning, and then quickly reversed. Both are now trading above their 18-day moving average. So if we get a close above that, it'll be a little more constructive. But basically, Corey, this is, as you know, this is all about the Fed next week. Gold is gonna dictate to what the Fed says or doesn't say about these high bond yields. So it's basically we're all waiting to see what happens with the Fed. You know, Biden signed the $1.9 trillion helicopter drop stimulus package, you know, on Thursday. You know, the ECB is still ultra easy. The central banks are still doing what they're doing. The gold price got really oversold. It came down and it hit that 0.382 fib retrace from its 1045 low in 2015. So that's a natural correction, and it basically was orderly. It remained in a channel, and the GDX and GDXJ have also been an orderly decline. They're now bouncing off 7-year breakout levels. I mean, that was once strong resistance, now is trying to become strong support, all going into that Fed meeting on Wednesday. So it's, you know, it's next week is going to be interesting. And also I can add a caveat as far as the shares are concerned, the GDXJ will be doing their quarterly rebalance next Friday. And, you know, Joe Foster's made a concerted effort to put more juniors into the GDXJ. So I wouldn't be surprised to see a few more juniors added to the GDXJ, and the ones that they will be adding, they'll be adding before the announcement. So you might see some strong moves in some of the developers that I expect to be added in the GDXJ.
Okay, that's an interesting move in GDXJ, but really, we're looking at technicals, we're looking at the charts, but does it even really matter? As you said, Dave, it's all about the Fed, and I think we can blame a lot of this downtrend on the Fed simply sitting on the sidelines and, well, continuing their easy money policies, but not ramping those up, and that's been weighing on gold because of some of the other market moves, like yields moving higher and the consistent outperformance of the broad equity markets compared to the precious metals. Overall, investors aren't taking defensive positions. They're not that worried. They're pretty optimistic right now. What would the Fed have to say to change this narrative in your eyes?
As far as the gold price is concerned, all they would have to do is even hint that at some point they're going to institute some sort of yield control program. That would bring a huge back. I don't expect that to happen, but you got to remember, this is the first time the Fed is going to be talking after the $1.9 trillion stimulus package became official. You know, they really couldn't comment on it before because it wasn't official. So now that it's official, they know that it's probably going to be bringing in a lot of inflation into the economy with these helicopter drops to consumers right away. You know, they're going to be running out and spending that cash. So I wouldn't be surprised if they actually do hint at a yield curve control program. I'm not predicting they will, but I wouldn't be surprised if they did. And if they did, then I would expect the gold price to close above $1,800 for a fourth consecutive quarter. That would be huge, because basically what's been happening with the juniors now is they've been, after 3 months of being above, having quarterly closes, I mean, three quarters of having a quarterly close above that's 1800 level, they were beginning to price in an $1,800 floor. But since it lost it at the beginning of this year, that's been now being priced out of these juniors. So that is a big reason why a lot of these companies have sold off so much. So it's going to be really interesting, as usually is, to see what the Fed has to say on Wednesday.
Yeah, you bring up a good point about this being the first press conference, the first meeting after that stimulus package. We'll see what the Fed does, though, because really, over the last couple weeks, even when we've heard from all the Fed presidents, doesn't sound like they are anxious to move from their current policy. If they don't move, Dave, does that mean we're in for potentially another washout in the gold sector?
That could very easily take place, Corey. Yeah. I mean, my favorite David Morgan phrase is, you know, the sector either wears you out or scares you out. And for over 7 months now, it's been wearing people out. It usually does either or. But it could end with this wear you out move. It could certainly end with a scare you out move. If gold loses that 1670 level and has a stop run down to that 1580, 1600 level, that's very possible. I'm not predicting that, but that could easily take place. And if that did take place, there's an open gap in the GDX at 26. That could fill at some point. Again, I'm not predicting that, but we have to keep it in the back of our minds.
Yeah, fair enough. What are you doing with your portfolio then? I saw this week you sold a couple positions, but I understand those were a bit more company focused and company specific. But right now, look, the fact of the matter is good stocks and even the bad stocks, they've all sold off in this market. Even the majors have sold off in this gold downtrend. How are you repositioning your portfolio?
Yeah, I sold a couple of things this week due to company specific reasons, and I'm just keeping that cash waiting on the Fed. M&A has started to heat up like it usually does during conference month here. You know, there's a few takeover candidates that I have my eye on that are becoming really, really cheap here. Basically the gold stocks have again become the best deep value play in the marketplace, which is kind of hard to believe since the gold price is still over $1,700 and these miners are still making quite a lot of money at $1,700 gold. But another caveat I'd like to introduce here on why the miners have been leading this correction lower, I think a big reason is the oil price. You know, in August, the oil price was at $38 and gold was at almost $2,100. And now the oil price is about $65 and gold's $400 lower. You know, the oil price is about 40% of miners' costs. So that's a big reason why the miners have led the decline here, I think.
Yeah, well, fair enough, right? And one other thing to consider, some of the year-over-year comparatives that we're going to get are actually going to be kind of negative for some of these miners because they're selling products, gold in particular, at lower prices, right? And quite frankly, let's face it, the attitude, the enthusiasm around the precious metals sector, it's crashed. It's absolutely cratered. No absolutely. One's paying attention. And you know what? Understandably so. Everyone's been making money in other sectors, right? So that's one thing we always need to consider. But hey, next week, it's all about the Fed. Let's see if the Fed makes any moves. But again, I'm not banking on it. And I think it's a kind of a risky game to try to bank on the Fed changing course when they haven't. But then again, hey, a lot of these stocks are sold out, so now is a good time to kind of reposition your portfolio, I think, in some of the better stocks. Dave, great chatting with you as always. I hope you had a great week at those conferences. Hopefully soon enough we can get back to face-to-face conferences, but thanks for recapping some of the moves this week, and I'll chat with you again next week. Have a great weekend there, Dave.
You too, Corey. Always a pleasure.